Good evening, church. Thank you for being here tonight. Thought I'd give you a quick little update about my mum. I know the church has been praying, and I thank you for that. Last Wednesday, so exactly a week ago, we were in the hospital. My family was around, and the doctors had said, look, your mum's probably not going to make it. And we're like, oh, wow, okay. They gave us kind of two options. The one that they were pushing for is not the one that we took. They wanted her to just go to a ward and hope for the best. Or they said we could try something in ICU, which would be not pleasant, it's noisy, she won't sleep. We said, let's try that first. And the treatment that they gave started to improve her breathing. So she wasn't breathing very well. She was, blood pressure was really low, and there was the oxygen wasn't getting around. 1 week later, she's coming home tomorrow. She's out of the hospital tomorrow morning. She's going to be moving in with us for a bit. And she's breathing normally, probably best I've seen her for a long time. So praise the Lord for that. It's an answer to prayer. And I just want to thank the church for taking the time to pray, and obviously Pastor being flexible as well. Let's have a look in the book of Daniel chapter 1. Going to have a look at a simple thought, maybe not what you would really expect from Daniel, but there's some good applications for us tonight, and I'll try and go through as quickly as I can. We'll look at four different things tonight, but I'm going to pray and ask God to help us, and then we'll get straight into it. Heavenly Father, thank you for being in church tonight. Thank you for everyone that's come out. I just pray that you would help this message time, that it'd be easy to be understood, and that it will meet someone's need tonight. May you be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. If I was to ask you, before we get reading, what is your go-to prayer in life? I know we pray when there's a need. It could be like, for example, like my mum. It could be someone sick. It could be someone we're praying for about salvation. But if you were to say there's something specifically, maybe a prayer for your whole life, what would it be? Would it be that God will enable you to be a better witness for him? That's a great prayer. Maybe you might pray, and I hope that this is your prayer, that God would use you in whatever way possible. That would be a really good prayer, maybe for your whole life. And if that's you tonight, you've chosen a great prayer. And I think if I was to ask you tonight, if I was to say, put your hand up if you want God to use you, I'm pretty sure most of us that are Christians and have the right sort of mindset would say, yes, I would want God to use me. Now, it's up to God who he uses in many different ways. As you read through the Bible, God uses all sorts of people. Maybe people that we may not think are the right people to choose. But it seems God, he takes people who may not have anything that special, and he uses them in special ways. I think of our pastor. God has chosen him for a specific ministry to be a pastor. God may choose somebody here to do a similar thing. Maybe a certain ministry, a certain role, whether it's preaching. I know for myself, God called me as a late teen to preach. Very clearly, I know where it was. I know what God wanted. And I've, to the best of my ability of what I can do, I've tried to do what God wants me to do. But you might say to me tonight, but what about me? God has never called me to do anything. God may never do that. But there are some things we can learn from the book of Daniel, or in Daniel chapter 1, mainly, there are some things I want to encourage you with tonight that you can do as a Christian that can help you get ready in case God does want to call you. Worst case scenario, you grow as a Christian. You improve things spiritually for your life. If God never asks you or chooses you out specifically to be a preacher or to be a specific role that he wants, that's fine. But if he does, it's good to maybe get ready. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. So let's start in Daniel chapter 1, verse 1. It says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favoured, skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. We'll stop there just for a moment and we'll look at some more in a little while. But we have a group of young men who, due to no fault of their own, have been taken into captivity. They've been besieged. They were just living life like they always were. I get my English right. And something in life has happened to them where now they're in bondage. Now, God is going to use these men to do certain things. They're going to become leaders over their people and amongst others as well. But they weren't people who sought that out. They weren't people who had a plan in mind that said, one day I'm going to become a leader. So there are some things that I need to do to be ready for that. That wasn't their intent. But there are some things that we can learn in these verses that we can apply now. So the first thing is there's a preparation. And the thing that you need to do if you want God to use you is start to prepare yourself for God's use. In verse 3 and 4, the king's told the master of his eunuchs, I want you to choose out certain types of young people out of the tribe of Israel, children in whom there was no blemish, but they were well-favoured. Notice this, they were skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science. And they had the ability to stand in the king's palace. So they had some training in their younger years. They had learned some things. They had been educated enough that it was noticeable that these young men had this skill set. Now, that doesn't become a prerequisite of being chosen by God. But I want to encourage you, you can prepare yourself to better your skill set, to better what you are doing now. So if God chooses you, if God says, you are the person I want, you've already started making some steps towards that. You can educate yourself. Daniel was one of those chosen because of his skill and wisdom, his understanding of science. He had some understanding and knowledge. How are you educating yourself, even in the realm of where you live? Do you educate yourself? There are some things that you can do. If you're an older person, I'd encourage you to try and educate yourself with computers. Are there any older people here that would say, I don't know much about computers? I know enough to get by. I know enough to do my business. I know enough to do the simple things. Whenever I have a problem, I normally call Tim. Or when Caitlin was living at home, I would normally call her and say, I can't get this to print, or I can't get this to, I copied this and now it's all over the place. And they fix it for me because they have had a lot more experience in those things. But we can educate ourselves in doing the things of today, so then if God wants us to, we'll be ready and better used. We can equip ourselves. We can take opportunity to learn things that you don't know about. One of the things Pastor said on Sunday was, he made the comment that you like to read biographies. You like to learn about people in history, people that have gone past. Well, one of the other people I know who is an avid reader of things is Pastor Shemesh. He often talks about, he'll bring up a story about Australian history or what's happened in the past, a certain Australian, and he will draw some knowledge and understanding because he's taken the time to equip himself about things he didn't know before. Do you know about how Australia came to be? other than maybe what you learned in school? Have you taken the time to learn about the history of Brisbane, the history of Albany Creek? There are some things that we can do to equip ourselves to better speak to people around us. As I said, worst case scenario, you can have a great conversation with those out in the world. Even if God doesn't choose you for a specific thing, you are equipping yourself to be better used and more effective for those around you. You can equip yourself by learning more about God's word. If you've never thought about being part of the Bible Institute or any of the lessons or any of the teaching that is available through the church, I would encourage you to put your hand up and say, look, I don't know where this may lead, but I want to educate, I want to equip myself more and learn more about the word of God. You never get to a point where you know everything. If you ask Pastor, if I was asking Pastor, do you know everything about the Bible? The honest answer would be no. Because we never know everything. We can always, always learn more. So we need to equip ourselves. But then in preparation for being used of God, we need to enlarge our capacity. We need to push ourselves outside of our comfort zone. Now we've got a perfect opportunity, an example of a ministry month, where there are opportunities for you as a church member to get involved in areas maybe you've never thought of before, maybe things that you've never done before. You have an opportunity to say, even though I don't know much about that ministry, I'm going to put my hand up and say I'm going to get involved. It may be singing in the choir. It may be playing an instrument. Maybe you know some part of an instrument or you've been learning, but being up on the stage seems very daunting. I'd encourage you to push yourself outside your comfort zone. Give God something to work with. Give God the opportunity to use you. Worst case scenario, you just you get more of an opportunity to do things with your brothers and sisters in the local church. So in the first part of Daniel chapter 1, the guys have been chosen out because they are a certain type of people. They were chosen. Now, as I said, they didn't go, one day when we get captured, I want to be used. They were just living life. They had done their education. They had been diligent in their training. They had learned some things, and it just so happened when it comes time for God to use them, it all fit into place. It fitted in to how God can use them. So the first thing is prepare. Then as you read through the verses, we'll continue in verse 5. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now this is a very well known a part of the passage, and you've probably heard it preached on many times, or you've thought about it, or you've read it, you've understood it. But the second thing that you can do, I guess, to make yourself ready or usable for God is to purpose in your heart some things. Purpose in your heart some things. Now the boys, as I said, they were thrust into this situation where it was of no fault of their own, and everybody was given a portion of the king's meat and of the king's drink. Everybody was required to do this. Now these young men, maybe because of their training, maybe because of their education, maybe because we talked about their knowledge and their understanding, maybe they've learned some things about God, and obviously it's true that they did. But Daniel purposed in his heart that it wasn't the right thing to do. He didn't want to defile himself. He didn't want to let God down. He didn't want to disobey what he knew about God. So there was a decision made based upon what he'd already known, what he had already learned about God. And I want to encourage you, if you want God to use you, and if that was your prayer like we said in the beginning, which is a great prayer, God, use me in whatever capacity you can, then there needs to be some purposing going on in your life that you need to establish some convictions, establish some things in your life now, long before things come in your life. Now, there's a whole list of things that we could discuss, and just for time, I'm just going to mention just a handful of simple thoughts. I want to encourage you that the number one thing that you should have a purpose about in your heart is that God will always be first in your life. That's the number one thing. If you can master that, a lot of the other things will just fall into place. If you can put God as first place in your life, when it comes to decision making, whether it's about work or about home or about family or about relationships, if God's first, those other things will naturally fall into the right zone in your life. If we don't have God first in our life, when things come and they're attractive, it could be the pursuit of something or an activity or a job or a relationship or something that you just want to go and do, and maybe totally not what God wants, if we haven't got that first thing right, we're always just going to be tempted with everything. Everything that comes along, we will just chase it and we'll do it. But God needs to be the first in your life. Is God first in your life? I know we'd like to think he is, but sometimes it's good to stop and physically ask yourself that question. Tonight when you go home, as you sit on the edge of your bed or on the couch at home, ask yourself the question, is God really first place in my life? Does he have number one place? Is that the purpose of my heart? So that's the first thing. God should always be first place in your life. Maybe something for the younger guys here, girls and guys. I will always show respect and honour my elders and those in leadership. That's something that is not very big in Australia or in Western world at the moment. Respect for elders, respect for the law, respect for parents. And it even seems that the world system doesn't even allow that for anymore. The world system kind of teaches young people that you do what you want. And yet we have the crime and we have the disrespect and we have the way our world is at the moment. But young people, I want to encourage you, purpose now as a younger person that I will honour my parents, I will honour those in authority, I will honour those in leadership that God has allowed them to be in my life. That's a thing that should be a non-negotiable. It's something that we should purpose in our heart now. What about this one? I'll do my best not to gossip about others. That's a hard one, because people are always doing stuff that you want to tell someone else about. It's human nature, but it's not right. We need to be able to purpose that. I'm not going to do that. When the opportunity comes, I'm going to bite down and I'm going to keep my lips quiet. I'm going to take hold of that. What about, we need to purpose in our heart now that every opportunity that God affords me, I will be a witness for Jesus Christ. It's easy to just stay in the back. It's easy to keep quiet, but we can purpose. When we start to purpose some things in our heart long before the things happen, it's going to help you make the decisions because you've already chosen to do those things. When the situations arise, and it's like, I believe if you purpose something, God will test it. God's going to bring something to either test you, or it's going to reveal you haven't purposed it yet. We might think it could be a love of money. And we are, money's not a problem, God's first. Someone's going to come along to tempt you to see if that's really true or not. And young people, if you start to purpose things now, I guarantee you it'll save you a lot of trouble and heartache when those situations will arise. And they will arise. You might think, oh, I won't have to make any decisions. Things will come. They always come. It doesn't matter how old you are, those situations and decisions keep coming and coming and coming. Even for older folk, they keep coming. And it's only because of the decisions and the purposing in our heart that we make earlier on can we make the right decisions in the future? So we've seen that Daniel was prepared through some things he had purposed. And then as you go into Daniel chapter 2, we'll come back to chapter 1 at the end. And we're not going to read all of chapter 2 because it would take too long. But in Daniel chapter 2, we find King Nebuchadnezzar starts to have a dream. And he can't remember his dream, and it's troubled him. And he's really keen to find out what the dream means. And so he gets his wise men and the men that can normally, I guess, assist him with things like this. And it talks about, he gets them all together and he says, "You guys, I've had this dream and it's troubling me, and you need to tell me what it means." And they go, "Hey, King, no problems at all. If you tell us what the dream was, we can certainly help you out." And he says, "Look, I can't remember the dream. You're going to have to tell me what the dream was and what it means." And obviously, like, if you asked me that, if you said, "What did I dream last night?" I'm going to go, "I don't know. I'm not inside your head." It's a normal thing that these guys brought forward. They said, you need to tell us the dream. And the king gets mad and he's very upset. He thinks they're trying to stall for time. He thinks that they're trying to manipulate things and gain more information so they won't get in trouble. And so he's really mad and he's threatening to kill them all if no one can tell him what his dream is. And Daniel hears about this. And Daniel decides that I guess in a way it's just not fair that it's happening. And what he does is he starts to perform things that he knows God can help him with. And this is the third P, is perform. What Daniel does is once he hears this, he goes to his friends, he was humble and he asks others to pray with him in verse 17 and 18. Let's have a look in verse 16. It says, "Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time." So he's willing to talk to the king, that he would show the king the interpretation. The king said, okay. Then verse 17, "Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael and Azariah, his companions." So he said, "Look, this is what the king has said, and that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret." And Daniel and his fellows, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. And Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of the God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him." And then Daniel goes on in 23 to thank God and to praise God. So Daniel had heard what has gone on. He gets his friends. He shares what the king is struggling with, and they go and they pray and they ask God for help. Whenever we have situations where we need to do something, whether it's God's asked us to or not, or we're just living out our life, if we're going to perform for God, if we're going to do things for God, we must be firstly willing enough and humble enough to take time for prayer. It's one of the good things about being a member of a church. When you're going through things, you have the ability to reach out and say, "Can you pray with me?" Just like I did last week. Our family was struggling. Our family really didn't know what to do. As I said, we were given two ultimatums. And I believe at that time, it was around the time that church was on. And we were asking for prayer. And I believe the church prayed. But it's good to get others involved in prayer. That's the first thing. If you're going to do anything for God, if you're going to perform anything, if you're going to be in a ministry, if you're going to lead singing, if you're going to play an orchestra, if you're going to preach, if you're going to teach a life group, if you're going to help in the youth groups, in the young adults, if you're going to help and the impact kids, you need to take time to pray. You need to be humble enough to say, I don't know the answers to this, but I know somebody who is, or somebody who does. So that's the first thing. Is with his performance, he was willing and humble enough to ask others for prayer. But then when the Bible says in those verses we just read, that God did reveal the secret. God showed the answer to what was needed. Now, I want you to imagine being in Daniel's position, your life's on the line, everybody's life's on the line, and you've gone to God in prayer and God's answered that, and now you're going to go before the king who's threatening to kill everybody. That's a lot of courage for Daniel to do that. But he was willing to speak out unto the king. We see that in verse... we'll go from verse 26. But the king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I've seen and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king has demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. He's reaffirming what the king already knows. Then in verse 28, but there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. Now, I'm not going to read what it about that part of the passage, but I make this point that when an opportunity arose for Daniel to do something, he was willing to do it. He was willing to perform with the things that he has already learned about God, with his purpose in his heart that he's already made some decisions about. He knew God intimately enough to know, here's a problem, we can go to God about it. And he starts to do the things as a young man can. And we have some young men and some young ladies here who can do these same sort of things. And when there was an opportunity to put into practice or to perform those things that he's learned and with a bit of courage and with a bit of faith, he went before the king and said, King, all your guys, they can't answer this. But boldly he says, I know somebody who can. And it's the God of heaven. He reveals secrets. And this is the answer to the dream that you can't remember. This is what it is, and this is the interpretation of it. Daniel was willing, firstly, to seek others to pray, but he was also willing to speak out to the king when it was needed. But I like the fact when we read from verse 19 to 23, as we did before, he was willing to give the glory to God. He never once said, hey, king, I'm your man. I can help you out because I'm the man that can tell dreams. My name's Daniel. Remember me. I'll help you out. He never does that. He says, your guys can't, but he reflects all the glory to God. God can. God's the one that's revealed this. God has helped me with this. It's not my strength. It's not my knowledge. It's not my purposing in my heart. It's not my preparation as a young man, but it's God. God's the one who's able to do this. So Daniel and his friends started to, they'd learned some things. They had put some things in their heart, and then as opportunity arose, they decided to make the right choices and live out a godly life. But they were willing to perform. I don't like the word perform because performance sounds like a performance, but it fits the piece. But they were willing to do things when the opportunity arose. You've got opportunity in 2026, if the Lord allows. You've got an opportunity to perform at Good Shepherd Baptist Church. What are you going to do when God says, when Pastor stands up and says, we're praying about someone to do this? Now, Pastor may have got the deacons together and just like Daniel, can you help us pray about this? And we've sought God and he's now speaking out to the congregation. We need help with this, or we need to do this or do that. Who's going to be a Daniel who up to this stage is really nobody, just a young guy living his life in captivity, deciding to obey God, and he was willing to step out and say, I can help you with this. Not because of me, but because of God. So Daniel was willing to do that. Now let's just jump back to chapter 1 for a second as we finish. And Daniel chapter 1, and we're going to read let's go back to verse 10 and we'll read down some verses. So this is when, after Daniel had purposed in his heart not to eat of the king's meat or drink the king's wine. So they made some decisions. Let's read from verse 10. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort, then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. So the prince of the eunuchs was fearful. If you don't eat and drink what's been requested and you look worse and you look I'm sickly and sick, I'm going to be in trouble for not doing my job. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he says, look, just give us 10 days. And then you just compare and see what happens. Verse 14. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar, I took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. Now notice verse 17, because this is very important. And as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. Through all this that we've seen, and we've just kind of raced through it, but Daniel had prepared himself, or he had been prepared. There was some preparation in his life. They had chosen some purposeful decisions that they wouldn't defile themselves, they would obey God. They had, I know it's later in the next chapter, but they will perform some things. But notice what God does. Through all this, because of their decisions and the choices that they're making, they will see some profit. They're going to see some profit. Whenever you decide to do what's right, whenever you decide to choose God's way, there's always a profit. There's always something that God will do with someone who is willing to make that decision. In verse 17, I really like what it says. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. Now, they'd already been noticed as young people. The reason why they were chosen is they already had some skill. They already had some knowledge. They had understanding of science. It's like God's added in this short period of time. It's noticeable what God is doing. God's now starting to bless the things just by simple obedience and making right decisions. God seems to be blessing. And it's now profiting them in a way that maybe they never thought possible. I believe if you choose to do what's right, God may choose to bless your life in ways you never thought possible. As you desire to serve him and you by faith take some steps to serve him, God may just use you in a way that you didn't realize he was going to. in verse, when you read verse 18 and 19, I like what it says, the king communed with them, and then in verse 20, in all matters of wisdom and understanding, he found them 10 times better than all the other magicians, everyone else. So they started out, when they were captives, they were recognised for their abilities. But at the end of it, by doing right, God continued to add those things, and they became, it was noticeable, it's recorded 10 times greater than everyone else. 10 times. Can you imagine what we could do with some young people who surrendered to God and just chose and decided, I'm going to make some decisions now as a teenager or as someone in primary school or someone who's just left high school and is entering the workforce. I'm going to make some decisions tonight that I'm going to put God first. I'm going to make some decisions that when the temptations that will come very shortly, I'm going to have some decisions set out that I'm not going to do some things. Can you imagine if God took that individual or that group of people and said, I'm going to make them 10 times more usable than they already are? Now, we look around at our young people and we think, man, we've got a good bunch of people, good bunch of young men and women who God could use. Can you imagine if we had 10 times better and God's blessing upon their life? I believe God always blesses when we make right choices. And then in the end, God's always glorified. God gets the glory. I don't know what God has for your life. I really don't. We are finished. I don't know what God will do with you. God seems to take his choice of people, his choice of young person, old person, and he picks them out when he's ready. If he hasn't picked you out, or if he hasn't given you clear instructions of what you need to do, that I would encourage you to start taking some steps to be ready in case God does want to use you. And as I said earlier, worst case, you just get a better education, you're more knowledgeable. You've tried some things. You've got involved. You're gonna increase your Christian capacity, one way or the other. But I think for me, one of the things I've always tried to do, every opportunity I get to preach, if I can physically do it, I want to do it. Whether it's a little church or a little congregation, or a big one, we always think, oh, I want to preach at the biggest churches. But if there's a church with five people and God says, someone says, can you preach there? I never ever want to go, it's not worth doing. It's worth doing. It's worth serving. It's worth obeying God. Because you don't know who's in that congregation. God could take one of that five and be a missionary. Could move on to a bigger church and be blessed and be used. You just don't know. So for me, what I've tried to purpose in my heart, now I don't get everything right, but I've tried for when it comes to what I believe God has allowed me to do, every opportunity I can take, whether it's in Australia or overseas, if I can get there, if I can afford it, if I'm not sick or if I'm able to do it, then that's what I purpose in my heart. That's what I want to do. And I'd encourage you, make some decisions about maybe 2026. We're right in the middle of our ministry month. I'd encourage you, even if you don't feel comfortable with it, step out, have a go. Put your hand up. It may be the very thing that God's going to use you in and excel you in. Just like Daniel, he was just like, I'm forced into captivity. And God took him, used him, blessed him, and did some wonderful things with them. Okay, Pastor or Jewel.